Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
So last week, we called it, we were talking about responsibility. And I said this line, I said, you know, often we're looking for an enemy. And if you could put that's great. Thank you. If you could leave that up. We're looking for an enemy, but so often the enemy is often within, and it's an inside job. You guys remember, if you were here, raise your hand. All right, if you weren't here, raise your hand. It's an inside job. I looked at the fact that so you wouldn't think it's just, oh, this is Jay's opinion. If we do this, this is what's gonna happen. Remember, I pulled up what AI, artificial intelligence, and I asked the question, if you were going to be, if you were an evil leader, a malevolent leader, and you wanted to destroy a nation, what would you do? And I took you through the points that AI said it should be done, right? I would sow division, I would ruin the economy, I would sow racism, all these different things. And as we looked at it, I would influence the media, I would sow false news, all that. And one by one, you can see it's all happening, right? So we are the ones that have to take we have to be aware of this and go, no, we don't want to see that happen. As Christians, we don't want to see that happen. How we go about it, that's a good question. One of the statements at the very end of that whole AI article, it said, overall, a society dominated by selfishness and individualism can lead to fragmentation, increased inequality, and a decline in overall well-being. So that was at the end of all those points, meaning that it's not just these things that are happening. It's saying that if we go into individualization and selfishness, that that's actually the cause of all this. Okay, you following me? So we often want to go, it's this party or that party, it's this reason or that reason, blah, blah, blah. And what it's saying is when we become selfish with what our wants and desires are, we're going to naturally lead into this very unhealthy place where we want our way. We expect what we want and it's gotta be our way or the highway. And yet that is so contrary to the gospel. The gospel is a gospel where he came and he gave of himself everything. And so we have this interesting dichotomy. The last thing I did when we were talking, I showed you the result that looks like, you know, all these things when a father chooses not to be responsible for their child. Says, I don't want the responsibility. I don't want the burden. I don't want to have to take authority. I don't want all that. I want freedom from this. And that, unfortunately, doesn't just affect the child. It affects him, but it unfortunately affects the child more. And we looked through all those different things, including, you know, poor school scores and self-esteem and drug addiction. Often that comes with it. It's interesting, though, if you follow the father, often they're like, I don't want that because I want freedom. If you follow the father, often they're in worse shape than the child because they just keep looking for more and more freedom and they can't find it. So they go into heavier drug addiction and other wives and just they can never find it because that's not where you find joy. And that's what I want to talk about today. Turn with me to Matthew 6:33. There's been a huge push in the last 10 years. Now, please hear me correctly, because I'm going to use the word life coach and all these different things. There's been a huge push for people to focus on themselves, to self-help, to live their best life ever. There's a lot of different words that they use, you know, live your best life ever, go after your dreams. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. I actually am a life coach. I have certifications. I think it's great to grow. The problem that I see right now is that we are exchanging responsibility to live our best life ever. And the problem with that is, well, we just learned about it last week. Where does that end? That ends in selfishness. And that will never do a nation well, and it'll never do you well. So I feel like the pendulum, you know, maybe was so far over here and it's swaying over here, and now we got to get back in the middle. Because I asked a question a few weeks ago. I said, you know, I can't even remember how I worded it, but does God want you to just do for him, or do you expect God to do for you, or is it both? Well, Matthew says this, 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. So really it's about going, God, I wanna put you first and seek you, your kingship, your kingdom. I wanna be a part of that. I wanna serve in it. And then you will add all these things. But how many know that often in society, we're like, I wanna add all these things. And then when I have time, I'll try to seek the king. Right? It's like, I wanna do all these things and hopefully I'll have time for church at the end of the week. You know, I got all these things I got to do in the morning. Hopefully I'll have time to maybe spend some time with God. And we've got this really bad order. And then I want to add the fact that often we just don't have time to even take responsibility, to get involved, to see the kingdom move forward. Biggest error the church made was that we thought that it was just pastors that moved the kingdom forward. That there was a season where it's like the priest did it all. How many know that that's totally out of whack? It's actually the body of Christ. If you read, it says that we are to equip and train the working, the saints to work. And so if it's like, no, that's your job. I just go to the marketplace and we do our thing. You actually have to move the kingdom forward. No. We have to move the kingdom forward. Turn to your neighbor and say, we get to move the kingdom forward. Awesome. All right, let me start with a story and then we'll jump in today. I've shared this before, so it might be a repeat if you remember. When I was in high school, my parents, of course, I needed a job. My parents believed in getting us to pay for as much as we can, and that forced us, and rightfully so, to get a job. And I got a job at a hardware store. I was 16. I'd just gotten my license, and so I was able to drive somewhere to get a job, which is beautiful. And I got a job at a hardware store. And I'm not gonna say the manager's name, but let's say his name was Bob. As soon as I got there, Bob was a rough character, had a rough life, and I have compassion for him now. At 16, I didn't have as much. Bob wanted to make my life miserable. That was his goal, I'm sure of it. He was not nice to me. I would get in there and I would dread it. I don't know if you remember me. Like, I would just dread it. It was horrific. He would yell at me for things that I didn't do and make me do things that I shouldn't be doing. He had me getting into a truck and driving. I should have had a special license for the truck. He's like, no, it's okay. I'm like, I can't do this. And I'm driving this big, massive truck. I just had my license. It was not cool. I did not like it. He sent me downtown to cut grass in this neighborhood that was like crack. You know, it was brutal. One day it was so bad, he did this. He got me into the back room and they had these 50-pound nail boxes. And he said, hey, I want all these nail boxes on this side. I want them all over here. And so I slugged, man, 50 pounds. I was a small little guy, still am, but I was smaller then. I'm lugging these things and bringing them over. And he got back and he looked at it. He said, you know what? Actually, after second thought, I think we should put them all back. I'm like, you. I was not happy. I didn't quite have the workout method, thinking this is great. Another workout. Put them all back. One of the things that I noticed in the store one day is that, because this man was in charge and he just, unfortunately, because of his life and his choices, he just kind of, everything was thrown together in his life. And so I looked around the store and it was filthy. Like, you could do this on the shelves and you would not just get a fingerful, you would get like a handful. It was brutal. And I noticed like plumbing would be in four different spots all over the store. Wherever they had room, they just put the plumbing and then another spot plumbing. And so I went to Bob and I said, you know, Bob, would you mind if I organized? And he was angry. He's like, you have no right to do that. That's my job, not your job. And he just blew up at me. So I thought, well, it can't hurt if I go to the boss and ask, because it just drove me crazy. I can't work in environments like that. So I went to the boss because I was getting to know him and I sat down with him and I proposed the idea. And he said, that's a great idea. That's great. Here's the keys to the business. You can come in after hours and you can begin to clean the whole store. I want you to paint the whole thing, clean the whole thing, rearrange it any way you feel. So I got to go tell Bob the new situation. Bob, very humbly. I tried. But the responsibility I was given And my parents taught me through that to push through, to honor, even though I didn't feel like all the lessons that come with those moments. And then because I believe I did that, responsibility fell on my shoulders. And for the next, I think it was the second year I was there, for that whole summer, I went in, blared the tunes, blared the Christian music that I wanted to. Nobody was around and I had the run of the show. It was awesome. And I got to rearrange it and Bob could do nothing about it. Another cool thing, when I was working there that year, a gentleman came in and he started to clean the floors. Kind of freaked me out. I didn't know what was going on. And then he explained. So this gentleman, an older man, he said, well, our company used to do the floors, but whoever did the floors, like for his company, he said, they really messed up. So my rule is I will not leave a store, even though they messed it up. I will come in and I will clean it for free. And he stripped all the floors. And while he was doing it, I said, hey, can you show me how to do this? Because I'm doing this. And he's like, I'd love to. He literally gave me a crash course on how to do floors. Strip it, wax it, all that, buff it. So I thought, this is cool. So I went in a couple days later, I made a proposal. I said, I hear you just fired your cleaners. Here's my proposal, which was way less, I'm sure, way less. And he's like, that's a great idea. You can take care of the floors as well. For the next, I think, 6 years at least, that's what I did, and it paid my way through university, which was fantastic. What's my point? Responsibility opens amazing doors. It really does. And what I want to try to hone in on, because we talked about the destruction that happens last week if you don't take responsibility. And this is where we're at as a nation. We're seeing everybody wants their own way. And did you know that, I'm sure you know this, that there was a day back in the day in the 70s and 80s and 90s that Republicans and Democrats and liberals and conservatives, they would often vote on bills because they thought this is a good bill. This is something we should work together on. You know, that's almost non-existent anymore. Nobody crosses party lines to work together anymore. We have our side, your side, my side, and nobody's working together. What does that come from? Selfishness, greed, anger, all those things. We read a scripture last week about that. Selfish ambition. God wants Christians to be totally different though. Amen? Amen. All right. So let's jump in here. What I'd like you to do is we're going to turn way back in time to Genesis. We go to this scripture, it's like the foundation of who we are. So I'd like you to turn to Genesis. And while you're turning to Genesis, we'll start at Genesis. Where are we gonna start? Genesis 1. I'm gonna read a scripture you guys know well, so you don't even have to turn to it. Go to Genesis 1. Let's start with the foundation. We gotta understand God. God so loved the world, right? John 3. Come on, this is like Sunday school. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we got to start at the foundation. God loves the world. And God loves the people that are in the world. Not just the Christians, not just the Jewish people. God loves the whole world. And he loves the world. He loves the nature. He loves everything that he's created. Like, look around. I'm sure you've all done it where you go and you begin to look through pictures of the world. Isn't it breathtaking sometimes? From the Rockies to the Alps, you know, the islands with the aqua blue water, some of the Sahara Desert and the ripples and this, like, it's gorgeous what God created. He loves the world. I think at times he's like, man, I'm a good artist. Like those moments when you turn a corner and it's breathtaking. It takes your breath away, the mountains. I love that. God loves the world and the people that are in it. That's the foundation. Everybody got it? So turn to your neighbor and says, he loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done, he still loves you. Did you know that prisoner sitting in jail right now, God loves him? Do you know that the people that are at war right now, whatever side you'd like to choose, do you know that he loves both sides? That he's not like, yay, kill those people. He doesn't do that. But you're like, yeah, but the Old Testament, that's right. That was an old covenant. We are under a new covenant where God says, I love everyone. And then he says, go love your neighbor as I have loved you. Who's your neighbor? Everyone. Everyone. So we're supposed to love everyone. Stinking hard, but that's what he said. In Genesis, Actually, we're going to start. We're going to skip forward and then come back. Genesis 2. Let's start there. This is what I love. We've read this before. Genesis 2, 7 and 9. And the Lord God formed man. We've talked about this before, but if you're new here, what's amazing about that statement is that he spoke everything into existence. And then when he came to man, it's like he got on his hands and knees and he formed man. Like he took the time to form man, not just speak it. I love man. And we go further because it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The ruach, the breath of God is in us. That's how he made us come alive. Like this is really personal, right? Yes. Yeah, it's very personal. Like he's making us, he's breathing into us. And then it says, man became a living being. Then the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So I know we've studied this many times, but the point I want you to make is you were personally created. He loved you and created a garden and a beautiful place for you to be. And then he gave you the opportunity to eat everything and the tree of life was there. He wanted you to have life every day. That's a good God. Amen. So that's where we find ourselves. Now go back to Genesis 1. Just wait for the signal when my wife goes, slow down. She's like, last week you're talking so fast. I do, I get excited. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. So what do we know? We gotta keep going back to what we know. God loves man, God loves the world. God created us personally. God put breath into our lungs. God loves us. God loves us. Genesis 1, 26, 28 says that God said, let us make man in our image. Whose image are you made? God's image. You are made in God's image. It literally, that word image means like a phantom of God. So when they would look at you, they'd be like, is that God? Oh no, that's Adam. Like that's that representation. Like when my twins come around, Aaron and Megan, they're like, is that Megan? Is that Aaron? Oh, it's Megan. Because it's so close, you have to try to figure out. That's what it means. God created us in his image. According to, this is them saying, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have, here we go, dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that makes, that moves on the earth. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 15 says, then the Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. We've talked many times about this, so I'm not gonna stay very long. The word tend means to serve, work, and worship. So he says, then the Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to serve, to work it, and to worship in it. And then to keep it, which is shamar, which means to protect and guard. So right away, in the first two chapters of the Bible, God gives man what? Responsibility. He never said, hey, I'm making this garden for you. Frolic all day long. Your husband was the one. I don't even know what that word means, but he said, come and frolic with us one day. I'm like, what is that? I don't know, just let's run around and dance and be merry. Yes, but then he said, hey, and this is what I want you to get. Deep within each of us, there is a cry for responsibility. You're like, no, there's not. Yes, there is. No, I don't want to do anything. Well, actually, You do, you just don't know that you need it. Because in every person, there's this cry to go, I want to be responsible for something. I need to, I don't care if it's responsible for my bedroom or responsible for a company or responsible for the garden. Inside of your DNA is the desire to have responsibility. It is birthed within you. That's why so many people, when they retire, they struggle. And they can honestly say, you talk to a good Christian, they're like, well, I know it's not my identity. I work, that's not who I am, but man, there's something inside of me that just likes to be productive. Right? How many can go a week without being productive? I can, actually. Anything after a week, like even you get even 10 days on vacation, but there comes to a point where my brain starts to switch and go, I need to focus on something. Like as much as I love to, all of us love to go on vacation, there's part of me that goes, you know what? This would not be healthy for me to live like this. It would be dangerous to live like this because I would get, I just know my brain would go places it shouldn't. My belly would grow places it shouldn't. But inevitably at some point I begin to go, man, I start to get creative. Krista, when we were first married, she would have to say, Jay, we're on vacation, stop it. Cause I'd be like driving, I'd come up with all these youth ideas. I'm like, hey, get your pen out, we're gonna, she's like, we're on vacation. Because inside of all of us, we still want to shamar and we still want to abad. I did it backwards, so I was trying to remember. We still want to work, worship, and serve, and we still want to protect and guard. There's something inside of us. Why? Because we are created in the image of God. And God said to man, this is what I need you to do. You're created in my image. I want you to protect, guard, and work. You following me? Here's my point. This goes directly contrary to what the world is trying to teach right now. So let's go back to what we knew. We talked about AI said that the world would blow up if we could get everybody to basically become selfish. We've got things that are out there, you know, TikTok and all that. Just live your best life. You just got to do this. You, like, go and take pictures all day long and just show everything's great. And yet mankind is actually getting more anxious, more depressed, more angry by the year, by the day. So this is obviously not the solution. Is it possible that the solution is actually moving back towards, I need to be responsible because that brings me life? I don't even know it, but it brings me life. I'll try not to identify my children, but I always love it when you try to get somebody, want them to clean their room and they fight you, I don't want to clean my room, blah, blah, blah. And then they clean the room and they walk out and they're like, oh, that feels so good. My room's clean. I'm like, do you feel like a sense of pride? I do. I feel productive. I'm like, let's do it every day. Nah. I'm not looking at any of my kids. But it's true. There's something like you clean your car, right? Your car's dirty. You clean it and you step back. You're like, man, that's so good, right? And there is something about doing it yourself that you could go, look what my hands did. Like, look at, I love to create. I love to paint. And I have seasons where I love it a lot and seasons where I don't really want to do it. But we just got done renovating something. And I love that I can walk every day down the stairs. It's our foyer. And Chris and I can stop because our room's downstairs. And we can go, look what we did. This is awesome. You feel productive. You feel good. Right? So this is in our DNA. Let's turn. I told you a while back, turn to 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. I told you a while back I wanted to do a series on kings and priests, priests and kings. This is actually that series. Because when I boiled it down to what am I trying to get out, kings and priests bore responsibility. Okay? Kings and priests bore responsibility. And in 1 Peter 2:9, say there when you got there. I'm gonna read two scriptures and we'll go to Revelations after this. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Like, just look at those words for a second. But you are not like that, because he's talking about the world. For you are a, turn to your neighbor and say, you're chosen. By the way, everybody's chosen, so I just want to let you know that God calls everyone, but you actually chose. You made a decision. When you look at this, I want to start drawing your attention. Responsibility, it says our response and his ability equals transformation. I really want to hone in our response, because the first part of responsibility is how many know that somebody has to make a choice to do it? Now, I suppose as parents, we're sometimes forcing that choice upon people, but in the end, the reality is at some point your child gives in and they go and do what they're called. They choose to go and do it. Now, you may choose because you don't like the consequences, but the reality is we're choosing. And it says, you're not like that, for you're a chosen people. You are a royal as you. It doesn't say a few of those around you are royal priests. It says you as a nation. And this is New Testament, by the way. So it's talking about people that choose. You are a royal priesthood. Did you know that? You are a royal priesthood. So there's two parts. You're royal and you function as priests. I'm like, I don't function as a priest. I'm not a pastor. What do priests do? Intermediaries between man and God. So when you have a neighbor that you pray for, Lord, I just pray that they come to know you. They need you. What are you doing? You're a priest. You're going before God and praying for those people. You're standing in the gap for them. Did you know that? That every time, but here's the thing. This is what he's saying we are. We are a royal priesthood. Not, would you like to be a royal priesthood? He's saying, you are a royal priesthood. And then it goes on, holy nation, God's very own possession. How cool is that? Like, if I'm gonna be somebody's possession, I wanna be God's. As a result, you can show others, so as a result of being a royal priesthood, being God's very own possession, what's the result? You can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Isn't that awesome? All right, I like it. Turn with me to Revelations. Time is flying. Revelations 5, verse 9 to 10. It says this, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. Man, that's hard for us to imagine that he's calling us kings and priests. He's like, man, it was bad enough, or amazing enough, maybe not bad, maybe you see it as bad, that you called us to be priests. That's a big responsibility. Now I have to stand in the gap for my neighbor, but you're calling us kings now? Like kings? Well, what do kings do? Protect. They serve. We're gonna go into this next week. They are responsible for the people that are around them. So I want you to go back for a second in your mind. We just talked about Genesis. God puts man in the garden and he says, I want you to protect and keep it. I want you to shamar it, abot it. I want you to keep this place. You know what they were at that moment? They were kings in that area. And now the number one thing that you do with abot when you work, you serve God. And he says, I want you to serve me by keeping this land. I want you to serve me by growing this area. I want you to serve me and worship me by doing and action and all these things. They were representing, they were acting like kings in that area. They weren't titled kings. They were simply, we're serving God. This is our responsibility. We're serving God. Now, the crazy thing is that's what he called them to do. And they lost it. They made a choice. They took of the tree. We know that whole story. They lost it. They were kicked out of the garden. Now, here's the thing. We have a problem. Now we have the land that is going to be desolate and we have souls that are going to be desolate. And for the first time, now we need somebody that needs to be king and protect. And now we need priests that are going to bring people back to God. And he calls us to be both. You following me? Now, here's the thing that I really want to get forward. A, I said it, it's in our DNA. Number two, this is our call. This is what God actually calls us to. When you come to Jesus and you say, you know what, I believe there's a God and he died for me. I receive that. I want to accept him as my Lord and Savior. That, I said that last week, it's just not enough to say a prayer, because the next part is, Lord, I want to follow you now. And what Jesus came to show is he came to be king and priest. And what did the king do? He served all those around him. And what did the priest do of Jesus? He brought the chasm down and people can come to know him. But so often we say a prayer and we said this last week, we want services, and God's like, no, I want you to take responsibility. I want you to choose to take responsibility. Of what? Well, start with your marriage, your friendships, your household, your high school, your grade school, your workplace, your street, your town. What does it look like if we begin to go, you know what, God, you've placed me on this planet and you placed me here. You've called me to take responsibility right where I'm planted. What does that look like if I say yes to that? The challenge I'm trying to bring to you is it a choice that we get to make, or is it a desire deep within us that we don't even realize it's there, but when we say yes to it, we actually come alive? Because so many people are running around looking for life and not finding it. And my question or my challenge or my proposition to you is it possible that when we say yes to serving God that we actually come alive? Instead of looking just for the next and more money and more this, and you ask millionaires how much is enough, well, they'll say when you get to 100 million. And you ask 100 millionaire and they'll say when I get to 1 billion, because it's never enough. But how many know that somebody like, I said, Mother Teresa last week, can go into the darkest places and find great joy in that because that's her calling? Now, aren't you thankful we're not all called to that? Just me. I am thankful. But I do know, and maybe you know too, when you start to function 100% in what you're called to do, how many get joy out of that? And it could be dentistry, could be bookkeeping and finances, but how many know when you're like, this is what you've called me to do for right now, whatever, this is my time, I'm gonna go do it and I'm gonna bring life to everyone around me. You following me? Two more scriptures, then I'm gonna close. Turn with me to Isaiah. You're asking where? So am I. Actually, you know what? No, we're not going to turn to Isaiah. That's why I can't find that scripture. We're going to turn to Luke. Luke 4. I wanted to go New Testament. One of the things as you're looking there, Luke 4, 18 and 19. One of the areas that I think we've blown is that I don't think God ever stopped asking us to take care of this planet. Did you know that? I think the mistake that we've made is that we thought, well, that's Old Testament, that's the garden, that doesn't make, you know, that's really nothing now. We're in the New Testament, it's all about souls. God never stopped saying, don't take care of things. It's still part of our calling. And then you add on that people are waiting to get whisked away in a rapture and to get out of here. Well, then we don't have to take responsibility. Who cares if the planet burns? It's going down anyway. I think God grieves at that. My choice is, until the day he comes back, let's be good stewards of what he's called us to be. So that's why even when you guys went to Haiti, they started to teach the people, hey, let's clean things up around here. Let's paint our houses. Let's bring life. And that's what's needed. So in Luke, so we understand now that we're supposed to take care of land and we're supposed to serve God that way. Then in Luke 4, 18 and 19, Jesus came. We've read this before, declare, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. He set liberty to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We've read this many times. This is what Jesus came. He said, this is my job description. And then when Jesus went up and came back, just before he was gone for good, he said, listen, this is now your job description. I want you to go make disciples of all the nations. I literally want you to go do what I did and teach everybody else to do the same thing. And then he said, bye. And they were like, what? We're not ready. He's like, I know, but that'll be next week. My ability will come upon you and you'll be ready. You just respond, I'll give you the ability and watch, I'll bring transformation. What I'm trying to drive home is now that we have things to take care of, that includes outside, inside, businesses. It is this idea that we're responsible, that God's given us this, whatever, it's your house, it's the church that we go to, it's the workplace you go to. He's asked you to serve. And then he calls you to go, I want you to serve in another way now because man was lost to me. I want you to serve because I've bridged the way. I want you to go and tell everybody about it. I want you to serve me that way as well. And my point is that when we do this and take responsibility, we actually come alive. It meets a desire within us. I have watched as my son and I, and we've done things where we've blessed people with his business. He's done it. And I watch their countenance change. And then I watch his countenance change. Because there's something about it where you're like, man, that feels good to love somebody. It feels good to serve someone. What we don't know what we're doing at that moment is we are actually taking on a kingship role of going, this person's my responsibility. I'm gonna love them. It doesn't mean we rule over them. It actually means we serve them. That's the problem where Christianity's got it wrong. We think dominion means control. Dominion means I'm gonna serve and find a way to bless. You following, you tracking with me? Just wanna throw this in. The word stewardship, it means, believe it or not, to be responsible. It means the responsible overseeing and protection of something considered worth caring for and preserving. The way I see it is that God has still asked us to steward this planet and steward the people around us. And every time we say yes to him, he provides opportunities for us to come alive as we serve others. So I think personally what the world is missing, I'll try to say it one more time. Every time I see people trying to just serve themselves, I never see anybody get more excited. Really. I see this pathway and I've been down it where you just try to, what do I need for me, for me, for me? And there's nothing wrong with a spa day. There's nothing wrong with a massage. There's nothing wrong with taking time for yourself. But the world feels like I'm so anxious. I got to spend more and more time serving me. And the whole time, all we're doing is getting deeper into a pit. Where when we turn our eyes to people, it's amazing how much, first of all, we begin to go, you know what? My life's not that bad, actually. And then we begin to go, I come alive by serving people. It makes us come alive. Amen. Church, I'm really, I'm doing this series because I know at least where I wanna go, and I believe I see where God wants to take us, and I know it's gonna take a whole village to do it. And I wanna see us, you know, we talk about the words, we talk about the baptismal tank being filled and all these things. I believe when we say yes to it, that God is gonna begin to bless that yes. When we begin to step out in faith and go, you know what, my neighbor is my responsibility, I don't care if I like her or not. Did you know that that was never a requirement? Liking your neighbor was never a requirement. Serving and loving your neighbor is. Oh, that's tough, isn't it? I'd like you to serve those that you like. No, he's like, I'd like you to love your neighbor as I have loved you. Jesus died for the worst of the worst, and he asks us to do the same, which is really killing our flesh. But I believe when we say yes, the coming days will begin to see this place and that tank filled with people that get transformed. And I believe right now what this whole series is trying to get us to do is to go, will you take responsibility for that? As a congregation, will you take responsibility so you can see that tank filled with people that have become transformed? Because I can tell you honestly, I'm not really excited. I would not say yes to go, hey, let's for the next 15 years do this with the same people and never see transformation in lives. I want us to get to the place where you can't remember everybody's name. There. Claude, that's your age. Amen. Good night. I'm serious. I really do. I want to get to a point where I hope we get to a day where you walk in and you go, oh my gosh, somebody's in my seat. That's amazing. I want to be a different church. I want to see different people in this church that don't go, who's in my seat? It happens a lot in churches. I want you to get excited and run up to that person and go, not tell them they're in your seat. You can say, I don't know your name, but hey, it is so awesome to see you here. Because when somebody walks through that door and puts themselves in a chair, that means transformation is about to start happening. Somebody's life could be changed. Now, you may ask, don't you believe that can happen out there? You've been telling us all this time. Yes, 100%. We tried. We really wanted to switch that pendulum, you know, just everybody hunkers down in church to there's a kingdom outside that we got to bring. But I realize unless we bring them through the doors and we get that pendulum back, nobody ever gets discipled. Right? It's both. It's realizing that the church is important and going outside is important, but let's bring them back in so we can disciple them. Amen? Amen. What I'd like to do for a second is there are three sets of people, a couple, and I don't know, I'm gonna call them up. Steve, or is Kristen here too? Kristen, I want you to come up too, because Steve and Kristen, Murray and Teresa, and Richard. Margarita, can you come up too? I wasn't sure if you were here today. You don't have to do any work, don't worry. A lot of times, and we've been growing so people wouldn't know, but we actually have deacons in this church. Murray and Teresa are deacons that have been around for a long time and helping us. They've been serving faithfully. I don't know if you guys know, if you ever get here early, Murray's here usually before you. I have never asked Murray to specifically, I'm sure Teresa, you can come, yeah, slide right over with each other. Don't be divided. We don't like them. Murray comes and he has water bottles out. He's flipping on lights. He's doing things. I've never asked them to do that, but I'll tell you, Murray, that blesses me. You have no idea how much that blesses me. And there, Steve takes care of things, and Kristen does too, because she's the Connect Center. Steve has said yes to be a deacon. Murray and Teresa have said yes to be a deacon. And then I tricked Richard into being a deacon. And it was awesome. Because we went to a conference recently, and you know, it was kind of like the staff and all that going. I'm like, Richard's coming. What do I do? Andrew came and he was already an elder or a board member. And I'm like, Richard. So I said, Richard, you want to be a deacon? I didn't say it that way, but he thought about it. He said, yes, sure. Why not be a deacon? And so good. Now I have staff with me. I'm bringing them up because when they said yes to being a deacon, they said yes to taking care, shamaring and abad, protecting and keeping this building. Deacons are the ones that go, you know what? This is our responsibility. We're taking responsibility. That's awesome, isn't it? First of all, can we just celebrate that? So I first want to say thank you for taking that role. Now, the second thing I want to say is this, that their role as deacons is not to do all the work. What I see in the coming seasons is teams that begin to go, you know what? I'm saying yes to responsibility, and I'm saying yes to working with teams. And there are a lot of men in here that you know how to do things, and women. I'm not saying just men, but I know there are people that have skills. And what this team, I'm gonna begin to empower them to go, you're taking care of the building. Now we're gonna put a team in place that they can go and keep this building top notch. How many would like to see this top notch? Absolutely, because we want unreasonable hospitality. Unreasonable hospitality starts with cleanliness. And so what I'd like you to consider when we're talking about our response, I would like you to begin to go, you know what? This is a team that's not like every week. This is a team that says, hey, I'm gonna say yes to being on this team, not as a deacon, the deacons are the leaders, but I'm gonna be willing to put my name down. If you need something, feel free to call me. I can't always say yes, but if I can say yes, I'm gonna be there to help you. Taking responsibility. For so long, Mary has taken responsibility. Pastor Gary did not have to ask Mary to own responsibility of this church. Mary took it on. She saw something, she did it. Claude took it on. They birthed this church. So I would watch Claude, he'd go, oh, there's a light bulb out. He would go get the ladder. He just knew, because he helped birth the church, he knew where things were, but he would say, this is my house, I'm taking care of it. I want us all to have that heart of responsibility. Because I believe in the coming days, it's gonna take a whole village to make this happen. And now with Josh going into different territory, that means Rod and I are picking up extra stuff right now. So I need to download and go, hey, I need you guys to really take care of this building. And it's a big building. It really is a big building. So here's what I'd like you to do. And I'd like you to do it now, if you could. If that is you and you're like, I would like more information about how I could be a part of this team. I'm not saying you're saying yes to being a part of the team. I'm saying you would like more information to be a part of the team. Why don't you take out your phone? Even if you're not sure, just go ahead and take out your phone. I know it's not a trick question. I'm not gonna make you do something. But you can write down this email address, j@ascentchurch.com. C-A, j@ascentchurch.ca. And what you could do with that is, I'd prefer you to do it even now because you leave and you forget. I would love for you to go type me a little email and say, I would like more information on what it means to help serve in this team. Now, here's what I want to see stop happening. Well, if I say no, somebody else will pick it up. We all need to be involved. And some of you, I know your lives are busy. I promise you, my life is busy. Why we do it is because we've taken responsibility. God's asked us to. Because this is our house and we get to serve in it. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Can we just stretch our hands towards them? And especially, you know, Richard's coming on. But, you know, we bring the spouses up because Teresa already helps out Murray. They are both deacons. And Kristen really does help function that way. And in many ways, you know, you're already involved, Margarita. You just do what you can, which means desserts. How many love desserts? When it's like fellowship community time, she brings such incredible desserts. But the reality is when the husband says yes, how many know the wife has to say yes too? Because that means they might be out of the house for something. So Lord, we bless them. Lord, I ask Father God for a mantle of stewardship to be upon them. Lord, I pray even as this team meets occasionally and looks at what needs to be done, Lord, I pray that you give them incredible creativity and the ability to put things together quickly to make this whole facility go to another level. And Lord, I pray that it would not be a burden, but it would actually bring great joy to see things begin to get done and great excitement. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.